go ahead and get started today. This beautiful, beautiful winter Sunday morning. Okay, we're going to open up in prayer. Got to ring my little bell.
Ring them bells.
Okay, we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love toward us, Lord God. Father, we pray that your kingdom come. We pray that your will be done, Lord God. Father, our first prayer is always that we would decrease and you, oh Lord, would increase, Lord God. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to come, Lord God. Father, if your Spirit doesn't come, Lord, as we say all the time, we might as well just leave, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, that we are changed, that we are moved, Lord. I pray we digest your word, that we take it in and we live it, Lord God. We don't want to be those that say it and don't live it. Lord, we want to live your word like never before. Lord, I pray, having done all to stand, that we would stand in this age, in this day, in this time, Lord God. Let your people stand, Lord, not just in this room, but all over the world, Lord God. Everyone that proclaims that Jesus is Lord, I pray for them that they would stand, Lord God, that you would encourage their hearts, Lord God, by your Spirit, Lord God. We pray for the churches in the Arab nations, Lord. We pray for the churches in China, Lord God. We pray for the churches in Greenland, oh Lord, in Iceland, Lord God, in Canada, Lord God, in South America, Lord God, in Mexico, Lord God, all the churches, Lord God. We pray, oh Lord, that they would stand, having done all to stand, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we're looking and we're expecting you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are going to be finishing up the session 11, the locks of prayer, the 10 locks of prayer. And just to do a review, guys, and this has been so good. I don't know if you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, but I have truly enjoyed just studying, you know, what can lock your prayers up, you know, and most of it has to do with ourselves, you know. Yeah. I looked through these locks and there was nothing that I could point to anybody else and blame anybody else. It all had to do with what was going on with me that locked up my prayer life, you know. So just reviewing, number one was praying without knowing Jesus. You know, a lot of people pray, and God is sovereign. He can answer whatever prayer he wants to, but he is not obligated, you know, to answer the prayers of those that don't know him, you know, but he is so merciful and he is so graceful. I love the way he answers prayers for people because he sees more of them than we do. He sees them down the road. Number two, praying for an unrepentant heart. And boy, we're talking about believers there too. You know, sometimes we think about the sinners, but boy, many of us, we carry stuff in our hearts that we need to be repenting of, sins that we can sweep it under the rug. But I'm going to tell you, God sweeps nothing under the rug.
Amen.
He sees everything and he deals with everything. Number three, praying for show, praying just to be a show off, just so people can hear and see how spiritual you are and all of this stuff. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, you already have your reward. Don't even expect anything else, because those prayers hit the ceiling and you got your reward. Don't expect anything else, you know. And then we talked about number four, praying repetitive empty words. Just repetitive. It's empty. You know, you're not even there. Your mind is on everything else, and your grocery list or what's going on at work. You're thinking about everything else, just praying out in the air and not even focusing on the Lord. And so we don't want to be praying repetitive and empty words. That's number four. And then number five, prayers not prayed, not praying at all, just too busy. I'm just got to be rushing. I'm telling you guys, I got a busy life, but man, I make it my business. I try. I'm not perfect at it, guys. I wish I could say I was 100%, but there are some days that it just gets away from me. But I try. I said, Lord, I know if I go out without you, I'm headed for some trouble. So I need to be sure and remember to pray for everything. Pray about everything. Don't leave God out of anything. Amen. I don't care. I know it's a business meeting and you think you got it because you got a degree and all that, but you need to pray before you go into anything. Amen. You know, whatever you're doing. I remember my mama used to pray about parking spaces, you know, so, you know, you guys pray over everything that's going on in your life. Invite God into it. You know, we had that poem, The Difference. If you didn't get a copy, let me know. But that poem, The Difference, and One part of that poem says, you know, God, why didn't you help me? I cried. And he said, because you didn't ask. You know, I'm just sitting here just watching you fumble and stumble because you don't ask. You don't take the time to pray. And that's one's praying for a lustful heart. And boy, that's James hits us right between the eyes on that one. That we're praying that we want to heap it on our own pleasure. We're not thinking about the glory of God when we pray for things. We just want it for ourselves so we can show off again, so we can be all that. Why do you want the house? Why do you want the car? Why do you want this? You know, those are questions that we should ask, you know. And, you know, and being, you know, I've learned to be honest with God. Lord, yeah, I do want that because, you know, I think I look good in that. So, but Lord, you know, it's all you. You know, I'm your maidservant. So if you wanna hold it back because it'll be a problem for me, then Lord, keep it. Because my prayer is nothing between my soul and my Savior, you know. And God does delight in giving us good things, you know. But be careful of your heart when God blesses you. Be careful that you don't become the show off. Number 7, praying while mistreating your spouse. Boy, that really, that hit a lot of us. Boy, we got all beat up on that one, didn't we? And we expanded that to be praying, you know, because the Bible talks specifically about the husband mistreating his wife and things like that. But we expanded that to mean anybody that you have some lordship over, you better be careful because God is watching. You know, we looked at the scripture in Proverbs where God hates the hand that sheds innocent blood. You know, the babies that can't speak and can't speak for themselves and you know, how we mistreat them. James 4:6, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. First Peter 5:5, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I think we gave out that whole sheet on how God resists the proud. I mean, the Bible, and this is not even an exhaustive list that I gave you last week. You know, God, you know, when you look at our Jesus, man, our Jesus was humble. Amen. He was humble. That's who we're serving, okay? So you need to think about who you've given your life to.
All right.
You've given your life to a humble king. You know, the one that bowed and let us whip him and beat him and put him on a cross and had a crown of thorns and was humiliated. That's who you gave your life to.
Amen.
So we have to be, the Bible says, let the same mind in you, be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, while mistreating anybody, you know, because you can. You know, because that's the way our world is. We mistreat people because we can. Amen. We got the power. We got the authority. You know, God will call us all on the carpet. Amen. So I think in the Bible, they use the example of the husband and the wife because that was the most prominent example that they were seeing. And they were dealing with that. They said, hey, listen, she shares in the grace that I've given to you. She's going to inherit heaven just like you.
Amen.
So she's you know, you better treat her right because she's one of my children too.
Amen.
You know, and I'm telling you, we need to take that to heart. The children, the little ones,
Amen.
Treat them right. You know, yes, we have to discipline them, and yes, we have to do this, but you better treat them right. Don't you mistreat those babies.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's one thing that God put in my heart. You know, I work with disabled people, and God tells me, don't you mistreat.
Amen.
Because I'm watching, and I see it, and I love them, and they're important to me.
Amen.
You know, they have a purpose on the planet, and don't ever think that someone on the planet doesn't have a purpose, you know, because they don't come up to your standards. Boy, I'm telling folks, this one was a good one. God will shut your prayers down. Number 8, praying while ignoring the poor. We talked about that, how not just in not giving and walking around and looking at them like they're invisible, but how you treat them. You know, just how you treat them. You know, you might be giving, but how do you give it? Do you give it so everybody can see? Do you give it and you wound their dignity in what you do? You know, and we gave that example of how Jesus saw the widow and the children and how he brought his disciples off to the side. And I found that picture on Google. I was like, yeah, Jesus was off to the side. He didn't do it in front of everybody. See this widow. Look at her. See, she's giving more than everybody else. You know, he was the Son of God, but he didn't do that. He preserved her dignity. That's one thing I never saw in that. I saw it this time when I was doing that study, how he didn't embarrass her. He just pointed to his disciples. He saw it as a teaching point, but he didn't embarrass her with it. You know, and, oh boy, that's the same mind being you. Don't embarrass people when you're giving to them. Do it in secret. I can't tell you stuff I have found. I have found cash in my mailbox.
All right.
You know, I to this day, I don't know where it came from.
All right.
And they never came forward. I found a gift card. You know, I never knew who it came from. Just in my mail. Just like, okay, I have no idea who did this, but Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was at Starbucks. I told you guys at Starbucks, and somebody in front of me, you know, here I'm coming up to Starbucks trying to get my little coffee, and somebody in front of me paid for my coffee and drove off. I had no idea. I had no idea who the person was. I just got up to the window, about to give the lady my money, and she said, the person in front of you already paid for it. I'm like, really? Yes. I'm like, okay, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, I love that. I love people like that, that just... Listen, I want my reward in heaven. Amen. I don't want it from you.
Amen.
I'm just doing it. I'm just being obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So again, that will hinder your prayers when you're showing off, when you utilize people to make yourself look good. Be careful of that, folks, because I think there's a lot in there when it talks about the poor. You know, people that are less fortunate than you in many ways.
Amen.
Be careful. Number 9, praying. Oh, here we are today. We are today. Now, okay, now we're going to start up again. And again, folks, we're going to hit you between the eyes on this one. Number 9, praying with bitterness in your heart towards somebody. Oh, no. Oh, no, you had to do that one. Okay. Mark 11 says, Mark 11, 25. Ouch is right. Whoever said that, ouch. Mark 11, 25, 26 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. Oh, wow. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. I'm sorry, folks. That's what it says. I didn't write this. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it means what it says. So again, you know, we started out talking about the horizontal relationship and how God is really into our relationships with each other, and how this vertical relationship with him doesn't work if you are messed up here with your horizontal relationships. As we look to God to answer our prayers, it has been said, he or she who cannot forgive has forgotten what he or she has been forgiven of. And that is so true. If you can't forgive, you have forgotten what God has done for you. When all is said and done, it comes down to love, how you love people. When all is said and done, you got to look at how you love people. How much do you love others? There is a love, the love of God, that goes far beyond human love. As much as you love your family, God loves them more than you ever could in your human love. Okay, so we're going to park here for a minute, guys. I hope everybody get the handout, The Excellence of Love. Pull out your handout. There's more at the table if you need one at the table. We're going to go over the love chapter, and I just saw some really wonderful insights into this love chapter, and I'm going to read the whole thing. It's 1 Corinthians 13, you know it, and it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, this is the Amplified, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. Oh, wow, that hit me right there. You know, if you don't have love, then everything you do doesn't mean anything. It's just a distraction. It's annoying distraction in the ears of God. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love, reaching out to others, I am nothing. And I want you to hear, he is talking to Christians here.
Amen.
Talking to believers. Gifts of prophecy, that's Christian. You know, speaking to people, you know, about the love of God, that's Christian. But the Lord says right here, his word says, if you have that great faith, but you do not love,
Amen.
You're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, we just talked about this. And if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. We just talked about that, how you give to people. So is it showy? You make sure everybody knows, or do you tell everybody about it and mention the person's name and embarrass them? That's not love.
Amen.
Okay, so what you gave didn't mean anything before God because you didn't have love in it. Verse 4 says, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked or overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in the truth. When right and truth prevail, love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. In verse 8, I love never fails. Love never fails. It never fades or ends. But as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for the gifts of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. See, that's why we can't love like we need to. And we're talking about bitterness. But I'm going to talk to you about how these hook together. Because bitter people lack love. Amen. That's the bottom line for it.
Yes.
They lack love. Because if you see this description of love in the scriptures, how can you be bitter toward anybody? If this is what you're doing, you can't be bitter. It goes on to say, verse 10, but when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know just as fully as I am known by God. So why did I bold this out? Because this is important scripture. I was wondered, why did Paul put this in the love chapter? Because we don't really know how to love like God loves. We're looking through a mirror dimly when it comes to the love of God. We don't understand the love of God. We don't understand why he loves us. That's one of our biggest problems.
Amen.
We do not believe that he loves us. Oh my goodness. Once you get that, you can love other people too. But if you still don't know that God loves you, then you can't get it. You're looking through a glass dimly. You're going through the motions of love, but you don't really get it. Why does God love people? Why did God send his son? And if you can't get that love piece, all kind of things can creep into your heart, like bitterness, resentment, holding a grudge against somebody because you don't understand. You're looking through a glass dimly, trying to see the love of God, but you can't really understand it. That's why I can say now, I know God loves my kids more than I do. At the time, I didn't really get that. I'm like, oh, no, you don't know. You don't know, God. I love this. I love these children. I carried them for 9 months, delivered into this world in pain, and I know I love these children. But then I'm looking through a glass darkly, and I don't know how great the love of God is, even greater for them than my love.
Amen.
Because I don't understand the love of God, guys.
Amen.
I don't understand why he loves people the way he does. But the Bible says here, I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God. Boy, we can even take known out and put in love. But then I will love fully, just as I have been fully loved by God. Wow. Can you get that? I was like, oh my goodness, I just believe the Holy Spirit just revealed. Then he said, you don't know. You're just learning how to my love. And you can only love people if the Holy Spirit is in you. That's the only way you're going to love like God loves. Otherwise, you're just stuck with that human love. And you know that love waxes and wanes and it's conditional. Oh. But when we're going to see, one day we're going to see his love fully. Like we're just getting a little piece of it. We're learning how to love, but we still see through this glass, this mirror, dimly. We can't see really how God loves people. And that's why we hold grudges against them. And that's why we can't love them through things. Because we're not seeing his love. like he loves, like he loves us fully right now. Verse 13 says, and now there remains faith, abiding trust in God and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. Boy, that's key. As I said, if you don't love you, if you don't understand if God loves you, then you can't love anybody else. Mm-hmm. Because you're, again, you're judging people on your standard of what love is. But when you know God's love and you know how God loved you and forgave you, oh my goodness, then you can extend it to others. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. So again, folks, as we're talking about bitterness in your heart towards somebody, you have got to understand love. Because once you understand love, you can let go of bitterness. You can let go of resentment. Folks, and I'm telling you, I've been a believer a long time, but it's just in the last few years I have really begun to understand the love of God. And the love of God for me. You know, because life is hard and life mistreats us so many different kinds of ways that we think we don't love each other. I know people that will tell you that they're always putting themselves down. They always got some negative comment to make about themselves because they don't love themselves. Amen. Because they don't believe God loves them. Amen. You know, they may even be a Christian, but they don't really believe God loves them. Amen. You know, because they're judging it by the way everybody else has treated me this way and they've treated me that way. So, you know, God sees me the same way. God doesn't, you know, and you will believe that even in Christendom, you will believe until as you grow in God, he keeps trying to teach us how much he loves us. Amen. So when all is said and done, when it comes to dealing with bitterness, it comes down to love. How much do you love others? There is a love that goes far beyond human love. Folks, and we've got to understand that. Note in verse 12 how Paul uses a metaphor. I'm just reading my notes into a mirror to explain that God's love is not well understood at this time in our existence. Why does love take precedence over everything else? It has to. If you're going to do it like Jesus, it has to take precedence over everything else. Before you start preaching to somebody, folks, you got to love them. Amen. You got to love them. That's what you hear the world talks about, the criticism from when they criticize the church. Oh, they're just what do they call us? They say they're just judgy. They're always judging us and they're always, you know, doing this and they're doing that. But boy, what if we love them first? What if we love them? You know, instead of standing on our pedestal wherever we are, what if you just loved on them? Don't say anything to them about God. Just love them. It has to take precedence or they can't hear your message. They can't hear the message of Christ if you don't love. So again, love, as the scripture says, the greatest of these is love. How well you speak, teach, sing, cook, how good you look doesn't matter. You can have all these things, but if you don't have love, if you hold bitterness in your heart toward another, if you're not forgiving, if you're not loving, oh boy, then it means nothing. Regardless of what they have done, God will not hear or forgive me if I don't love. Amen. Regardless of what they have done. And oh boy, we can list the faults of other people. Amen. And what they have done and how they have hurt us. But God still says, if you don't forgive, then I won't forgive you. I don't know about you, but I need his forgiveness every day. I need his grace every day. Love and forgiveness is a matter of obedience to God and submission to his Holy Spirit. You obey and the Holy Spirit does the work in your heart. See, that's how it happens. You know, like, but I can't love them. You don't know what they did to me. You know what? Just walk in obedience.
Yes.
Just walk in obedience and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Like, Lord, I choose to love them. My feelings haven't caught up with it yet, but I choose, God, I choose to love them. So help me, show me, Holy Ghost, how to love them because my feelings haven't caught up. Amen. I remember God told me, and I told you guys this story, God told me to make somebody a bowl of soup that was sick, and I didn't want to. Oh, God, I didn't want to. And I didn't spit in it either, you know. And I made this person a bowl of soup and I gave it to them. And just like, okay, I'm walking away. I'm just walking away. I just want you to feel better. God bless. You know, because the Lord, and you know, even though I thought it was all about them, it was about me too. God wanted to see me walk in obedience towards something that he knew my emotions weren't lining up with. And the Holy Spirit then started to do the rest. He worked on me. He broke down those walls of anger and hatred and resentment. And, you know, as I said, you know, sometimes as believers and sometimes when you feel justified in your bitterness towards somebody, you can act all kind of ways and think God's going to justify it, and he won't justify it. I'm telling you. So when you're acting in obedience, it's to help you.
Yep.
I can't answer your prayers like this. So I'm going to have you do an exercise that helps you.
Amen.
So next point of your lesson says, no one has any right before the shed blood of Christ, there we go, to hold bitterness toward another. Wow, oh boy is right. This may seem rather hard as we live in this world where so much pain is inflicted by people. But there is no sorrow that heaven cannot heal if you would allow it. But if you choose to hold to your bitterness and pain, God will not forgive your sin. This is his word. Okay, you choose to hold to it. It is a choice to hold on to bitterness. Bitterness is fueled by the desire for revenge. It is an unsatisfied anger. That's what bitterness is, to get people back for hurting you. That's what bitterness is, that you just want to get them back and you want to hurt them. But the word of God, and write down this scripture, Romans 12:19 says, in the Amplified, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in scripture, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so you must trust God with your revenge. Okay, you've got to take your revenge and lay it at the feet of Jesus and don't pick it back up. Let it go.
Amen.
Give it to God. Your assignment as a believer is to forgive and to love and let him take care of the vengeance. That's what it's all about. So you must submit to his judgment toward that person. What if they repent and come to Christ and God forgives them? What's up with that? After all they did to me, they're going to repent and God is going to forgive them? Oh, some of us, you know, I'm talking about where we live.
Amen.
That's where we live.
Amen.
I can't believe they down at the altar. I'm just crying at the altar. That's where we live, folks, after what they did to me. How dare the Holy Spirit move on him? That's what we think. We possess Jesus like that. Well, Jesus is mine. You can't have him. You know? This is why we're looking through a glass dimly when it comes to God's love, because for us it's hard to understand the extent of the love of God. But as we submit to the Holy Spirit in this, we walk in it without understanding it. See, that's what we do. We walk in the love of God without understanding the love of God.
Amen.
We forgive people that you're thinking, oh, God, they don't need forgiveness. But I'm going to forgive you because the word of God says it. I see through a glass dimly. I don't see why I have to forgive you. But I'm doing it out of obedience. I don't see clearly the love of God. Sometimes, some of us have been in Christendom for so long, we've been saved for so long, we forgot what God forgave us of.
Amen.
We forgot what we were about and what we did to people.
Amen.
We forgot. We've been saved for a long time, you know, but you got to remember, it was like the story with David and Nathan the prophet. You remember that story? God had blessed David. David had become king, and God was with David. And then David got to a point where he was all this, and he took another man's wife, then killed the man, and was going to go on and just do what he needed to do. You know, just keep acting like a king. And then Nathan showed up.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Nathan showed up and told him the story. You know, you guys remember the story. In 2 Samuel 12 is a story where he was telling the story about the rich man and the poor little man. The poor little man had just his old one little ewe lamb, and the rich man took his one little lamb and slaughtered it for his friend and fed him. He said he just took his one little lamb. The story, when you read the story, was so embellished. Like, I mean, not embellished, but it was just... how he said the lamb came up with his children, and the lamb was just so precious to the man. Mm-hmm. But he was just trying to get that story clear of what the extent of what David had done.
Yes, yes.
And he took the lamb and slaughtered it, and then he asked David, what should be done to the man?
Yeah.
And David said, well, he needs to pay back four times what he took and then put him to death.
Yes.
And then Nathan turned around. You know what? You are the man. Yeah, he set him up. You are the man. See, that's the way we are. You are the one. You know? Boy, could the Holy Spirit remind us of where you were and what you did. Remember back in 1980? When you... like it was yesterday. When you did this, this, and this. And boy, God has brought some memories back to me. And now you... I'm going to stand here with that attitude? Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Oh, man, it's like we got to remember what God did for us.
Yes.
How he forgave us, how he washed us, how he cleansed us. And yes, he gave us a new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And how dare us not want that for somebody else? Because they hurt us.
Amen.
Oh, and they could have hurt us deeply. They could have hurt us deeply. You know, but we have to grow in the love of God. Again, boy, just study that 1 Corinthians 13 again, because it says something. I got a revelation on that mirror piece. I always wonder, why is that in there? Why does he love, 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 and then he goes to this mirror? You know, because all these things he was talking about, you guys don't get it yet, because you don't understand the extent of the love of God, and that's why you hold bitterness and resentment toward people. Next point in your lesson says, God seeks to set you free of the spirit of bitterness. It brings decay to your soul and to your life, and it does. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. You know, they say when people are bitter, they secrete all kind of chemicals in their body. People have found bitterness associated with cancer. They've seen bitterness associated with all kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always ulcers, all kind of medical problems, you know, because they are just angry and won't let it go. It's so sad to see people go through their lives angry. Sometimes the person they are bitter toward has even died, but they continue to hold their resentment toward them. Still, you hear people talk about their father. I don't want to talk about my father. He's long gone. And they still hold that anger for their mama, their daddy, you know, and things that they can't let go. They can't forgive it. Their time on earth ticks away as the spirit of bitterness robs them of the joys and peace in life. Boy, you see it. Just angry. Life robbed. Won't participate in anything. Won't get together with anybody, you know, because they're angry. Bitterness is a toxin that not only poisons us spiritually, mentally, even physically, but also poisons the effectiveness of prayer and the full experience of our relationship with God. And that's from our book. And boy, it is absolutely true. It'll poison you mentally. You'll be paranoid, always thinking somebody's going to hurt you or somebody's going to do something. Oh, I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what's happening, and you'll spread it. You know, it's bitter people, they spread poison. Never happy about anything. Always see something negative in everything. Just always, you know, just, you know them. You know who I'm talking about. You know, you've seen these people. Just bitterness, just bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like nothing. Okay, my goodness. You hate to see them come. Oh, Lord, here she come. Don't tell us the latest bad news. Never came to tell us anything. Always bad news.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't even feel like it today. You know, I got enough issues on my own. I don't need to hear this.
Bitterness is
you know,
a cancer.
It is a cancer. It is a spiritual cancer. And it will eat you up. It will destroy you. It'll color everything that you see in life with bitterness. Some Christians, and so we got to, you know, again, forgiveness, love. That's what you need to cure bitterness. Some Christians are waiting for God to strike somebody. And we need to get out of that. You waiting for God to kill somebody. And God's looking at your heart. Honey, I was there. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for, yeah, been guilty. Lord, just kill them. Just kill them all. Just kill them, Jesus. Thank God he doesn't say yes to all our prayers, man. Half the earth's population would be gone. You know, if he answered, only the children would be left. You know, if we, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, you're right. So again, God is looking at our hearts. God is looking at our hearts, folks. We got to forgive. We got to let things go. I remember watching this show years ago. It was called Witness to the Execution. And it was about these people that were going to sit and watch the people that kill their relatives die in the by lethal injection. And boy, they showed this one girl that in particular stood out to me because she was in church, and they showed her in church singing a hymn and all of this. And then, but her brother had been killed by this man. And boy, she was just so bitter and so angry. Oh, yes, I'm going to be there and I'm going to watch him die, you know, and all of this. And I remember, so she did that. She went through with it, watched the man die. And afterwards they were interviewing her and saying, well, they say that he found God, he found Christ. And she was like, I don't care. He's still in hell. You know, that's what she wanted to think and believe. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I know that pain must have been very deep. But folks, bitterness. And I don't think that satisfied the bitterness, because the man was dead and she still was holding. That's what really struck me. The man died. He's gone. And you're still holding to your hatred for him, which shows you once again, you know, the revenge, seeing the person die doesn't change anything. You've got to release bitterness, and it only comes with love and with forgiveness.
Amen.
Got to let it go. Let God keep score. You know, it's one thing, the Holy Spirit, let me keep score. You don't have to keep score in your life of who did this to you. Let me keep score. You know, because I know people that write things down. Mm-hmm. Back in 2012, you know, let me just go through 2012. You know, you borrowed my car, ran all the gas out, didn't fill it up. And then in 2013, you borrowed my sweater and you got a stain on it, you know. So now, no, I'm not going to let you borrow anything. So, folks, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, and even if you're not writing it down, we keep mental diaries. See, when we're talking about let it go. Let it go. Don't bring it up again. Let it go. Let it go. And the enemy and that adversary of yours, the devil, boy, he will bring it up. He will try and bring it up in your mind, but you don't have to speak it. And you don't have to give it life. Let it go. You know, just going to stay in peace. Peace is something that has to be pursued. You have to grab on to peace. It's not automatic, folks. Not in this world.
Amen.
Peace is not automatic. It's something that you have got to hold on to by the Holy Spirit, because that's the fruit of the Spirit is peace.
Amen.
So why bring up stuff? You know, yes, it would make a good point, but let it go. Yes, you would have the upper hand if you said it, but folks, let it go. And let bitterness go. Don't let your prayers be hindered. Because you know what you're doing? You're letting that person that got you so, that hurt you so bad, still have power over your life. Because they still have power, because God can't even hear your prayers because of what you're holding toward them. So you give them power over your life again. Someone once said, the best way to get, the best revenge is to live well.
Praise God.
And I believe that. I said, just live well. Just let it all go. Forgive them. Smile at them. You know, send them a Christmas card. Whatever you need to do. You know, and live well. And as they see, God bless your life, because nothing between my soul and my Savior.
Amen.
That's the best revenge, somebody said. And I think that's well said. Okay, finally, guys. Number 10. We're going to get to the last one. Praying with a faithless heart. Uh-oh. And your lesson says, do you believe that God can do what you ask? Do you believe God will do what you ask according to his word? God is always looking at your heart. You know, and don't answer too quickly. I'm telling you, don't answer, because I had to really think about this. Do I believe that God's going to do? You know, I've learned only in the past few years to say, I expect you. I expect you when I pray. Lord, I'm expecting. I'm looking for it. I prayed. I believe I'm praying according to your will, Lord, and I'm expecting. And one big deal that I talk about is that scripture that says it is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So when I'm praying for somebody's salvation, boy, I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm waiting for that just a little inkling. If I see a little change, oh, thank you, Jesus. There you go. Oh, my God. Look what they did. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. You know, and I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to talk about this a little bit. So always expecting. God is always looking at your heart. Believing him in prayer is important to prayer. Expecting him to act after you have prayed according to his will and his word. Do you expect him to answer is the big question here. The scriptures teach us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. The expectancy part, that he's rewarding of those who diligently seek him. And that's Hebrews 11:6. I believe Jesus is waiting with great anticipation for you to step out in faith and believe him. You know, and then on the back of your handout, you should have the story of Matthew 17. And we're going to go through this one a little bit. The story of the demoniac, the man that was filled with demons. And it says here, Matthew 17, beginning at the 14th verse, and this is the Amplified again. When they approached the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, kneeling before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, moonstruck, and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And Jesus answered, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. 19 says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. You know, just a sidebar. Hey, you know, we prayed for that boy, and nothing happened. You know, and then you prayed, and he came out. So, you know, so what did you do? You know, this is what the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, why could we not drive it out? He answered, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to here. And if it is God's will, it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And again, there's a lot in these verses. First of all, he is saying it didn't happen because you didn't believe. You didn't have the faith of a mustard seed. Have you seen a mustard seed? I mean, it's like the size of a pinhead. It's a tiny, little, tiny seed, you know, but it grows this huge tree. Little, tiny seed. It could fit on the tip of your finger, the mustard seed. And he said, if you had that much faith in what you were doing, then it would have happened, but you didn't have that much faith. And of course, Jesus knew where they were coming from. He knew that they were just saying words, but didn't really believe it to change or to happen. And are we doing the same thing? Are we just saying things, you know, without believing or expecting it to happen? You know, and he said that you can move a mountain and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And that says it's something else. Being focused. You know, when you're praying over somebody, you need to focus. You know, your mind can't be all over the place. You know, and I know it's hard to do sometimes because you got so much on your mind, life and what it is. It just comes in your mind, and the enemy sometimes brings all these thoughts, but boy, you can focus. Prayer and fasting. That's what fasting is all about. You know, it's not about you keeping the rule of the fast, being, you know, making sure you keep the rule. I didn't eat this and I didn't eat that. Folks, get an idea of fasting. Fasting is when you're focusing on God and you're trying to, yes, you're going without food or you're fasting from something, you know, so that it can bring you more into focus with the Lord. You know, it's not about following the rules and stuff. It's about focusing. I'm fasting, Lord. I'm just trying to bring my flesh down right now so I can, my mind and my spirit can focus on you, Lord. You know, that's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, that you can't be praying and you don't have any faith. You're not even believing. Fasting is an act of faith. You know, when you get and you fasting, it's an act of faith. Lord, I believe that you're going to speak to me as I sacrifice certain things. And I get before you, Lord God. I believe that you're going to talk to me. So it's an act of faith. So he says this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and by fasting, focusing on God, thinking about God. And then you can deal with some of these demons that we all are dealing with, you know, in our lives. These demons, boy, just focusing. Lord, I'm going to fast this. And I'm going to focus on you, Lord, as I attack this demon in your name, as I go against it. And then after all of this happened, I had to add these last two verses. The next verse in this whole scenario, verse 22, when they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and handed over to men who are his enemies. They will kill him and he will be raised from the dead. He will be raised from death to life on the third day. And they were deeply grieved and distressed. You know, and I thought to myself, I can see Jesus rolling his eyes right now. I just told them, yes, I'm going to die. I'm going to be handed over. But I'm going to rise on the third day. And they're deeply distressed. You know, he's going to rise in victory. I'm like, okay, so this is all going to happen. And I'm sorry that's going to happen to you, Jesus, but on the third day you're going to rise? Oh, wow. We can look forward to that. But instead, all they heard that he was going to die. And I know that's all they heard because the way they acted when it happened. They left him. Peter denied him three times. Judas betrayed him. I mean, all kind of stuff happened. And they just scattered. Did they hear? But on the third day, and Jesus is like, okay, they still
didn't get it.
They still don't get it. We see through a glass dimly. I thank God for his grace toward us. I really do. Because he's so gracious. And so Jesus walked through it. He still did it. He walked through the whole thing. But I thought, because sometimes you read scripture, you just get a different thought. I said, I wonder how Jesus felt. When they were like, oh no, you're going to die. And remember Peter said, you won't. Jesus said, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and I'm going to be given up and I'm going to be arrested and all this is going to happen. You know, and I mean, he already told him he's going to rise on the third day. Peter said, no, you can't go down. You can't go down. I'm like, Peter, did you hear the end of the story?
Selective
hearing. Yeah. All we hear is one part and we don't hear the victory at the end. And how the Lord comes through at the end. And sometimes God will speak things in our heart. Yeah, they're going to go through this. I'm going to allow this to go through this, but I'm not going to take their life. The life will be spared. I don't know if God just shows you people. Sometimes you got to, okay, I got to step back and just let this happen. You know, because God said so. But he told me in the end, there will be victory. And that's what we have to see. And that's where faith comes in as we go through things. Faith comes in because we see the end. The end is victory. But so we hold to that end and victory. James, back to your handout, James 1, 6 and 6 through 8 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Wow, that's really powerful. So the question is, why would God bless an unstable person? Why? They will never stay with the blessing to build what God told them to build. God will bless them, but they won't stay with it because they're unstable. Responsibility comes with a blessing. You know, you're praying for things and God gives you. You've got a responsibility. You have to be responsible when God gives you and be stable with it. Do you have the faith to build and maintain the blessing God wants to give you? That's something you have to ask yourself. Lord, am I going to stay with this? Check your history. Check your personal history. Do you ever stay with anything? Are you jumping from this to this and this, people? I know people that jump from church to church to church, do this, and this. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then next year they're going to do this, they're going to do that. You know, and I'm like, why would God answer the prayer of someone that's unstable? They don't have enough faith to believe God and see it through. But they throw up their hands and they give up. Oh, man, folks, I'm telling you. As I said, these things hit us right where we live. The next point says, do you trust God to work on your behalf, or are your prayers just a formality? Do you pray and then do things your way to resolve an issue? That's a biggie. We pray and then we do it our way. God move, God bless, and then we go in and tell somebody off. You know, because we feel they just need to be told. This displays an unstable and instability and a lack of faith before God. It shows that you do not believe him, although you prayed. Oh, watch out, folks. Your behavior speaks volumes. You know, we teach at our center, you know, tell them, I said, you know, when they're acting up, when the kids are having a tantrum, I said, don't say anything. Just wait. Mm-hmm. There's a technique called extinction where you starve it, the behavior. You don't even look at it. You don't talk to them. You just wait till they finish screaming on the floor, because that's exhausting. And after they finish screaming and yelling on the floor, I just look at them and say, you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll wait. And you just wait. And finally, you ready? Ready? Come on, let's go. We don't discuss it. We don't talk about it. Yeah. My behavior told them everything. Yes. That when you're acting like that, you get nothing. Yes. When you're ready to comply, when you're ready to be obedient to God's word, God will move. So we gotta understand this, that our behavior speaks everything. We will do what we believe. I have learned that through life. People do what they believe.
Amen.
Okay, not what they say. I can hear you say a lot of stuff, but I'm watching your life to see if you do what you believe. So, again, we want to be sure that we're doing the things that God told us to. It shows that we don't believe him, although we pray. Or do you wait and watch believing that God will answer? Boy, that waiting part is hard. Do you wait and watch believing? It's hard to wait sometimes. And do you thank him for every inkling of the answer coming into your life? You know, as I said, being expecting, you're praying for somebody, you believe in God, and you see a little inkling of it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I see a little bit. Lord, I'm watching. I'm waiting. Boy, that blesses God's heart, I believe. When he knows my child, she's waiting on me. She's expecting me. You know, she prayed. He prayed it. He's watching to see if I'm going to do it. You know, I believe that blesses God's heart when we do that, when we thank him for just that little glimmer of hope in what we prayed for. Your lesson says, do you refuse to show God's love in a situation until you see a change? You just holding back. I'm just waiting. I've been praying for them, but I have nothing to do with them until. Folks, what kind of faith is that? I'm waiting for you to show me God before I change my behavior. That's what you're saying. I'm waiting for you to show me before. I don't believe you. I don't trust you until I see it. That's what you're saying to God. Or are you someone that loves through it all, remaining steadfast and unmovable? 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. Always excel in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's where we live. I'm still working. They're going to sing that song, Waymaker. I was waiting for them to sing that song, Waymaker. They're going to sing it this morning in service. You know, and it says, even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He never, never, never stops working. He never stops working. God is always working. God is always busy. God is always busy. It was 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58. I was just thinking of that scene from the shack and how they had Octavia, I can't remember her last name, was playing, Spencer, was playing God, and she was sitting there on the porch knitting, you know, and he was talking, the guy was talking to her, and she's knitting, and he says, well, he said something about what she was doing, and she said, you don't believe, you can't believe all the stuff I'm doing right now. And she's knitting, she's talking to him, you can't believe all the stuff I'm doing right now. And she was supposed to be the character God.
That was so good.
And I thought it was so, I said, boy, you know, it never hit me, but God is always working. He's always busy. He's like, he's never stagnant. Don't you know he's a rushing, mighty wind? He's always moving. And even though you can't see it, be thanking him. Lord, I thank you. I don't see it, Lord, but I thank you. Lord, today was a bad day, Lord. Today was a rough day, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I just feel like we took two steps back, Lord Jesus. But I thank you that you're working. And even in all of this, Lord God, I know that you're working it out for my good. As we go on. It says, do you pray and then speak negatively toward God answering? Uh-oh. Your confession.
One. What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you in just a second, Terry. Your confession should line up with your prayers. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't pray for somebody and then talk negatively about it.
Right.
You're praying, oh Lord, save Bobby, save Melody, save, and then I can't just go, you won't believe what that child did now. You know, she'll never be anything. She'll never do anything. He'll never amount to anything. Just as lazy. Oh my goodness. Be careful. You're praying, but then you're talking negatively against what you prayed for. You prayed for them to come to Christ, and then you're telling everybody about all their sins. Oh, folks, be careful. There's nothing wrong with telling people to pray for them, but don't run down all the stuff that they're doing. Don't pray and then speak negatively toward what you prayed for.
Don't we do that sometimes to ourselves?
We do it all the time. Yes, we do. Good point, Spanky. Yes, we do. We pray for things for ourselves, and then we say, oh, I'll never. You know, you fill in a blank. I'll never do this. After you just ask God to help you with it. And then you speak a negative comment. And the scripture says this, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks the non-existent things that he foretold and promised as if they already existed. That's Romans 4:17, and it's talking about our father Abraham, who believed God and acted in his belief of God. In Genesis 15, you'll see this. It says, then Abraham believed in, affirmed, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted credited to him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man. Boy, Romans 4:3. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God and God accounted him as righteousness of his faith. That was just another version. So Abraham, our biggest example in the Bible, how he stepped out. And folks, back then it was hard to step out because there was no police. There was no state patrol. If you went out there, you went out there on your own. And anybody could come and attack you. But Abraham believed God and he stepped out. Took his wife and his whole family out there in the wilderness to a land that God was going to show him. And he believed God. Yes, he had some issues here and there. But boy, you got to admire the man for having such great faith to step out on God. Boy, when God told him to sacrifice Isaac, boy, having that kind of faith to take and note that he didn't tell anybody, as we said a few weeks ago. He didn't tell Sarah. I know he didn't tell Sarah. But he went up to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. That type of faith is what we're talking about. Believing God, I'm going to believe you. So folks, remember, when you have prayed about something, speak words of life over it.
Amen.
Speak words of life,
amen.
Not death. You know, and it takes some practice. Sometimes you're so used to saying it. You know, if something slips out, just say, Lord, I repent and I pull that word back to me right now. In the name of Jesus, kill that word that I just spoke, Lord God. Forgive me for saying that. Repent of it And then speak words of life over it. It's not too late. It's not lost. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we learn. So that we can learn how to make our prayers more effective. You know, so speak words of life. The final point, because I want to finish this today. Number C, it says, lukewarm belief is the weakest form of praying. Doubt locks us out of our own prayer closet. Yes. Boy, I like that. That was from the book. Doubt locks us out of our own prayer closets. Wow. Note the account of Thomas the disciple. He followed Christ, but failed to believe that Jesus said what Jesus said when times got hard, as is the whole disciples. But Thomas, boy, he was the prime example. The disciples had been through a lot after Christ's crucifixion, but he allowed fear to rule over his faith. And you can see this in John 20, 26 through 29. It says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Says a lot. As I said, the disciples, man, they went through a roller coaster ride with this. Had they held the faith through the whole thing, boy, how wonderful and how glorious it would have been. And Thomas, even after they told Thomas, because this is day 8, Jesus rode on day 3. They told Thomas, we have seen him. We have seen, he has come and he has talked to us. He has walked with us on the road. You know, he spoke things to us that made our hearts burn within us. Telling Thomas all this, and Thomas says, I won't believe until I see. And note this. Jesus heard everything Thomas said. Because as you read this, Jesus appeared in the room and just went straight to Thomas. He had already heard the conversation. Jesus is listening to your conversation. I won't believe until I stick my hands in his side and I see the wounds on his hand. I'm not going to believe. Jesus heard the whole thing. God is listening, folks, to what you say. And you have no faith. You're unstable. You know, you're with me today and tomorrow, you know, you're somewhere else. You know, you're running in fear. You're hiding in a closet the next day. He heard the word, and that's a lesson to us. He hears what we're saying. He showed up and he challenged Thomas. And I love this last part. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. And many, many of us, I've heard people talk about Jesus appearing to them and, you know, and talking to them, but folks, I haven't seen him. But I believe. Amen. And the Bible says there's a blessing. Amen. There's a blessing for those of us that have not seen, but yet believe the faith that we have, you know, to believe him without seeing. And then the final part of our lesson, folks, is a prayer. And it says this, Lord, I'm tired of being the one who's blocking myself from being as close to you as possible and receiving what you desire to give me. Unhinge me, I pray, from any locks of prayer. Open me up so you can work without hindrance through me. In Jesus' name, amen. What a beautiful, beautiful prayer. So, yeah, it's a lot to think about, folks. And I'm with you. I'm in the barrel with you. Thinking about these things, these locks of prayer. Lord, where am I guilty? Where can I clean up myself on these issues when it comes to the things that lock us out of our prayer closet? I think that was well said in the book. We lock ourselves out of our own prayer closets because of how we act and how we behave. Our behavior speaks volumes. Speaks volumes. That's what God is looking at. He's looking at your behavior. And speech is a behavior. You know, so you have to, what am I saying? I'm praying, and then I go and I say this. Wow. Rose?
Yeah. I know you were just saying in Proverbs 18:21 say that blessing and cursing is in the power of the tongue. So
yeah.
Whatever you say, if you say it positive, I mean, you're planting that seed in your heart.
if it's all positives coming out of you, it's a positives coming out. Mm-hmm. But if you're planting all this bitterness and all this resentfulness to others, then that's what that your life is. Mm-hmm. As you say, it's like a decay. It's like
yeah.
it's going to fall apart. Yes. You know, and there's a lot of Christian that I know.
Yeah.
It's still like they know the word and everything.
Yeah.
And then somebody said did something to them. They never mm-hmm. forgive. I said, you need to forgive.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, to stop that bitterness and just,
yeah.
you know, pray for them, yeah. you know?
It's a
I
choice,
know a
Rose.
Lot of people mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, it's a choice. I don't know what gets in
understand.
Our head to make us think we're exempt
right.
from certain parts of the word.
But I do know, you know, that's why mm-hmm. when you pray, that's the hindrance and all this bitterness. It's because
exactly.
all this worriness and bitterness, mm-hmm. and it's a sin.
Yes.
It's an actual sin.
Yeah.
And God would not hear you.
Yeah.
You know?
So it hits two of the points, the 10 locks, unrepentant
yeah.
sin
right.
and bitterness.
Correct.
You know,
yeah.
and yes,
yeah.
it's true. And that's why I said the word of God is written to us.
Unrepented heart. Yeah.
This is written to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's for us to study and to read and to know. And we're not exempt from it.
Right.
People
and,
think, oh.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with these people. You just
yeah.
need to pray for them. And you can't tell them, mm-hmm. stop doing it. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? You know. You're cursing yourself.
All you can do is pray for them. All you can do
That's
is speak
it.
The truth and
right.
pray.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, open up to them.
Right.
Let them understand. You know, and well, I guess what is most serious about that
yeah.
is where Jesus said, if you don't forgive,
yes.
neither will my Heavenly
and
Father
forgive
you.
Just remember that.
Yeah. I was reading this book. It's kind of controversial, but this book, Divine Revelation of Hell, I think we talked about it years and years ago in this class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by this lady who said she had Jesus came and took her to hell
mm-hmm.
and showed her different things,
yeah.
wanted her to write down different things that she saw. And she talked about a woman that went to church all the time.
Yeah.
And she asked Jesus, why is she here? He goes, because she wouldn't forgive.
Wow.
You know, I mean, she went to church every week and she did this and she did that, but she just wouldn't forgive. And God is not going to wink at his word for
nope.
anybody.
He
I don't care who you are.
Down.
Yeah. Don't ever think
down.
You're so religious and in Christendom so long that you
right.
you get a pass
Mm-mm.
when it comes to the word of God. You don't.
No. Right.
If you know to do right and do it not, it's sin to you.
That's right.
You know, and if that person, who doesn't know about forgiveness? You know?
Yep. I think the scripture that tugs my heart is the one where the people came to him and said, Lord, said, didn't we cast out devils and do this?
Mm-hmm.
And this was speaking to it. It was one of the sheets was talking about, you know, the love and the things we do. You know, it's a noise and a
mm-hmm.
you know, a gong and
mm-hmm.
it's, and they said
noisy gong, yeah.
And I said, you know, you're going to be there that day, and they're going to say to him, said, Lord, didn't we do these things? And he said,
right.
Depart from me,
yeah.
you workers
yeah.
of iniquity.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
And the Lord was
yeah.
wow. chasing me one day. He spoke to me. He said, you know, Kip, he said, if somebody's son or daughter raped and pillaged the town, just killed everybody, murder.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, if your son or daughter did it, not only should they not die, they should not even go to jail. But if somebody else's son or daughter did it, not only should they die, but they should
mm-hmm.
hang from the highest tree
mm-hmm.
To serve as an example
mm-hmm.
for messing with one of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to me, he said this, he said, but I am the Lord, and I judge right.
Yeah.
It's not partial.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I was, you know, the scripture says, you know, he judges righteous judgment.
Amen.
You know, he forgives who he wants to forgive.
Yeah.
And he judges who he wants to judge. And I've come to understand because he has so much more intel on the situation than you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we know our sons and daughters and we want to give them a pass, but somebody else's sons and daughter we know very little about. So, hang him from the highest tree, you know. But God judges righteously.
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah,
knows.
See that movie Revelation, I think it was Revelation that this they're in like they open the book of life and all of these millions of people with, you know, wearing white and everything, and this guy went to the where the book of life and his name was in it, and he was a pastor, And he
it
said,
wasn't in there?
He wasn't in there, and he was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I teach your word. I did this, I did that. Why? You know, because of his heart. It's mm-hmm. not in it. You know, you're teaching the word, but you're teaching like a history book. Yeah. You know, you're not teaching it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
God, Jesus knows those who are in
that's
his.
That's scary. You know, yeah. See well, everything
got,
you do.
We've got bitterness right in front of our eyes. Look at what's happening in America.
Mm-hmm.
How it started with hate,
yes.
dislike, denounce, bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's like it's a cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and it will eventually, if something's not stopped, it will consume.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And we as believers have to get on top of it and say, no, it's wrong. It's
we will
wrong.
Pray.
You know?
We will pray.
Yeah.
And I tell people, you don't have to change legislation to see people
you
saved. All it takes is a change in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to see in America mm-hmm. is a change of the heart, you know, and then the legislation will follow. But let's pray for the changes mm-hmm. in the hearts of America.
Praying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else? Comments?
We know that, you know, Jesus' blood that was shed for us was shed for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the forgiveness of sins for us is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When we're forgiven by God, that's justification, just as if we
mm-hmm.
never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think of it also in forgiving someone,
mm-hmm.
it's forgiving them as if they never did that
right.
towards us. We,
right.
I mean, we may remember, you know,
mm-hmm.
the hurt, but if we truly forgive,
mm-hmm.
it won't hurt anymore.
Isn't
that's
that
just what
see,
forgiveness
again, that,
does.
That is the love of God.
That's
mm-hmm.
the love of God.
To forgive that much that... what does the Bible say? Casts into the sea of forgetfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, boy, I can't forgive to that extent. I can forgive you, but I remember what you did.
Yeah.
But, you know, but God forgives and loves to the point where it's like it never happened.
He justified
wow.
it. Yeah. His, Jeremiah 31:3, this is God's love. I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. He also, he
mm-hmm.
is love, and he has called us to love.
Mm-hmm.
The sin, I can't say that word, synonyms of love is everlasting,
mm-hmm.
endless, eternal, enduring, perpetual, undying,
mm-hmm.
infinite, constant, continual, persistent, unbroken.
Hmm.
If we could only love that way. I mean, I know God calls us there, but we're working.
We're looking through the glass dimly. As I said, I had a revelation. I said, Lord, we're looking through the glass dimly.
Mm-hmm.
It may be cleared up for a little clear for some people, but I don't think anybody on earth
like
sees
God.
The love of God like it truly is. But he says, one day,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. when all that perfection, as you read 2 Corinthians 13, he talks about when we come into perfection,
mm-hmm.
when we come, but then we're going to see, and oh boy, can you imagine seeing the love of God,
mm-hmm.
experiencing the love of God to that extent? That's why heaven's going to be so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be just the mansions and the,
mm-hmm.
the streets of gold, boy, but just to be in the presence
mm-hmm.
of the love of God, to be enveloped in it, and to know... You know, there's no question. Do you really love me? You know, do you? None of that.
Yeah. Faith, love. I mean, well, faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
The greatest of
these
is love. When in heaven, we won't need faith.
Mm-hmm.
We won't need hope, but there'll be love there.
There
so
will
that's
be.
Why the
yes,
greatest
exactly.
Is love.
Boy, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
I remember an episode of Touched by an Angel years ago, and they were asking the question, how much faith does an angel need? And they went through all the stuff, and then at the end of the show, they said, the answer is an angel needs no faith because they see him. They have seen him.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to believe what he can do. They know what he can do. They've seen him. It's an angel doesn't need faith. It's humans that need faith. So you're right. And I never thought about that, but in heaven, you know, faith, hope, and love... Only thing we're going to need in heaven is love. Won't need the faith, won't need the hope. Oh, Jesus, thank you, God, I won't need the hope anymore.
Faith, hope, and love.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So let's pray, guys. We're running over. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. It is by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we understand your word, Lord God, that we are getting revelation, Lord God. And Father, the revelation, Lord God, just helps us, Lord, and helps us to understand and absorb it and take it into our lives, Lord. Yes. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come to help us, Lord God, to love, Lord. We talked about love, Lord. Lord, we pray that the love of God would sweep all the bitterness and resentment out of our heart, Lord God. It is our desire that we don't live another day, Lord, holding on to our hatred and holding on to our resentment, Lord, even those all the way back to childhood. God, we got to let things go. So help us by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we will to do it, but Lord, your Holy Spirit is the one that makes it happen. So we ask for your Holy Ghost to come, move in us. Change us, Lord God, from the inside out, Lord God. That's why we're here. We want to be changed. Oh, God, we don't want our prayers hindered in any way, Lord God. As we go through these locks of prayer, Lord God, I pray, continue ministering where we need to change, Lord God, that our prayers be not hindered. That you hear us, Lord God. Yes. Oh, Lord, that you minister, that you bow down, you listen, oh, God, and we pray, oh, God, that we would be expecting it. Oh, God, we wouldn't pray and then walk out of our prayer closets and forget what we prayed for. Oh, God, what we would remember, Lord God, that we have made requests before the Heavenly Father and that you would answer it, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and we'll be looking, Lord God. We'll be expecting you to move over this nation, Lord God. Yes. Move over our loved ones, Lord God. Save them, Lord God. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. We pray and we'll be expecting it and we'll be speaking words of life over it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.